Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, the NFL draft is Thursday night. And we are window shopping. We can watch everything else go on inside the building. We'll be on the outside with our faces pressed to the window saying, oh, look at that first round pick. He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. She is Mary Kay Cabot of the Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. We read her every day. And right now she's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Mary Kay. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Mary Kay.
We are good. No reason for you to go to Detroit for the draft, right? You'd rather be here, wouldn't you? I'm just curious.
Yeah, there is no reason whatsoever for me to go to Detroit. Now, sometimes when the Browns have the, you know, the number one overall pick or a high first round pick, there would be reason to go to maybe New York or something like that. But in this case, all of the business will be conducted right there in Berea.
What business is going to be conducted on Thursday in Berea?
You know, the only real thing I think that will happen on Thursday night is the Browns really monitoring that first round to see what is going to be available to them later. And then also, you work the phones. You continue to work the phones and see about trades. So those are the kinds of things that Andrew Berry and his staff will be doing on Thursday. And we won't even be out. You know, the reporters won't even be out in Berea Thursday night. We won't get out there until Friday evening, when the second and third rounds will take place.
So there's no hope or dream of being a part of Thursday night. Is there other? We'll just watch it from the outside in, right? That's it.
Really, yes, that's just it. I don't think they want to give up any draft capital or assets or players to get back into the first round. I don't see that happening. I would be surprised if it does. But having said that, Andrew Berry has been known for surprises, so you can't put anything past him at all. He's an aggressive talent acquirer, if that's a word. He's an aggressive drafter. He's an aggressive signer. And I think that will hold true on this weekend.
Mary Kay, could you see this team on draft day, especially later in the draft, trading picks for players during the draft? Or do you think that's something that either happens before a draft or after a draft?
You know, anything can happen. I don't really see a lot of player movement going on veteran player movement going on mm-hmm. over the weekend. I think they will be mostly focused on the draft and moving around in the draft a little bit here and there. We have tried to pin him down on the whole Greg Newsom issue and those rumors, and he has dismissed those. It seems I asked him point blank about having three really good starting caliber tackles, and he said that goes in the same category as you don't want to give those guys away. So I think they feel really good about their roster right now, and I think this is going to be sort of a supplemental draft to kind of beef up a few spots here and there.
All right, Mary, I asked this question yesterday. I'd like your opinion on it. We've heard Andrew Berry say in the past that they approach every draft like they are an expansion team, and then we also heard him say over, the last week that he'll be keyed in 10 picks away from, so at pick 44, for 54 if they should stay at 54. Your thoughts on both of those philosophies, keying in 10 before the actual pick and then having the mentality that you are an expansion team. Although I don't know how they can do that, but you tell me.
Well, it's an interesting way to go about the draft. It's definitely a very interesting approach, because if that were the case, then you would have to be starting with really super premium positions, I would think. And I don't know that they're going to go looking for a quarterback super high or anything like that. But it's an interesting philosophy, because you're basically saying, get that out of your mind, what we already have. We need the best players available in this draft, and we don't want to be thinking, oh, we already have Jerry Jeudy. We don't need another receiver. And then all of a sudden, one of the best receivers for the next decade gets past you. So I really do think that it's a smart philosophy, and it's really an exercise in getting your brain trained to the best available player mindset. So I see the wisdom in that, absolutely, for sure. And then I talked so long, I forgot what the second part of the question was.
Oh, it was getting, locking in 10 picks before the draft. Before your pick.
There you go.
10 picks before yours.
That's smart, because you don't know what's going to happen. When you, at number 44, you're going to know. If you have 15 players that you would be absolutely happy with at number 54 that are still left on the board, then you can afford to trade back a little bit and pick up some extra selections. So I think it's a really wise thing to do. It gives you an idea of whether you need to trade up, stay put, or trade back. So I think that's smart.
Mary Kay, I don't think this is any kind of an issue. I'm just kind of surprised it hasn't happened yet. Contract extensions for Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, especially after Kansas City extending Andy Reid and Brett Veach and their team president as well. You expect that to happen after the draft? I wouldn't imagine it's going to happen tomorrow.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, I don't know if anybody in Kansas City thought that was going to happen yesterday or yesterday evening or whatever the case was. So I think it can happen at any time. I don't think it really matters when. It's kind of a slow week, actually, until we get to Friday here. So, you know, maybe it will happen. Maybe they'll wait until afterwards. I'm not really sure. But what we do know is that they are coming, and it's not going to shake the universe when it happens.
And how long do you think the extension might be? I mean, Andy Reid and his gang got through 2029. I mean, that's pretty serious.
Yes, that is serious. I would think that maybe they'd go another 5 years with these guys. I mean, you want to show the faith and the commitment in them. So I don't think you'd go through that and just do 3 years or something like that. I'm not sure. We didn't have an opportunity, or we did not ask Jimmy the length, and he wouldn't have told us anyways, the length of the looming extensions, but I would think that you would probably go with another five.
Yeah, how do you think Jimmy Haslam's grown since they've taken over the team in these kind of feelings about longevity with his coaches? Because, I mean, early on it was, let's pull the trigger, move on. Now, I mean, he definitely seems to have he seems comfortable with the guy who's in charge now, but I think isn't it more about the team, his management team, than it is maybe about the head coach compared to when he first started and took over the franchise?
Well, I think you have to get it right, or you have to keep moving on. If you have the two-time NFL Coach of the Year in the last 4 years, you don't have to move on because you got it right. If you are losing game after game after game for whatever reason, then you have to continue to move on. And, of course, having a good quarterback is going to help going forward. You know, they believe that they have their quarterback, so that will help matters. But for the most part, I think that they feel very, very good about the team, like you said, that they have in place with Andrew, with Kevin, with Paul DePodesta, and so far it's working. So by all means, he can afford to do the thing he's needed to do all along, and that is have stability in the organization.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us, plaindealercleveland.com. It's really early. We don't know a whole lot about him and the fit here yet, Mary Kay. But what have your early impressions been about Jameis Winston and how it might fit for him here and fit for the Browns with him here?
Well, I think so far he has established himself as a very vocal leader, someone that players will gravitate to, that they are already gravitating to, someone that these guys can rely on for a lot of different things, for, you know, for a confidence boost, for, you know, maybe some spiritual guidance, perhaps. You know, he's really gotten big into that whole aspect of himself, and I think that he's going to have an impact in that way and in many other ways as well. Again, they don't have a ton of vocal leaders on the team, and he is certainly one of them. I think it was something that was necessary.
All right, give me your priority list for position in the draft. So, you know, tell me where you think they most needed to maybe fill in the blank after that. I know it looks rock solid on paper right now, but this is still a team that gave up, what, 45 points in their playoff game. So there's work to be done.
Yeah, again, since they don't draft for need, it's just sort of an exercise in, you know, people throwing out there what they would like to see them do.
That's exactly right. Mary Kay, what do you think you would do if you were them?
So basically that's it. I mean, I like the receiving class. I think it's a very, very strong receiving class. So I would probably try to go receiver at number 54. Then I'd probably come back with a pass rushing defensive lineman at 85. I would try to trade up into the fourth round or back into the fourth round if possible, because you have too big of a gap between the third round and the fifth round when you pick again at 156. So I would probably try to squeeze another draft pick in there somehow. I think they could use a tight end to complement David Njoku and the others. And I do think that they need that backup quarterback, the third quarterback, and that maybe they should be looking at seriously at a Joe Milton from Tennessee or someone like that.
The wide receiver thought, Mary Kay, you and I have been on the same page for a long time on that. Does that get even more magnified? And I'm curious as to your thoughts on this and what they might do with Amari going into the final year of his contract. And Elijah Moore as well, who, though I don't think you can say that hasn't worked, you wonder if there's going to be a big investment there after they made the investment in Jerry Jeudy. What do you think happens with Moore and Cooper?
Well, Andrew almost made it sound at the owners' meetings like he was interested in extending Amari before too long. So we'll have to keep an eye on that and see how that goes. I think that would be a smart thing to do. He doesn't really show any signs of slowing down. He's so good. I think he's exceeded expectations here, and he's been phenomenal. So I think that's something to strongly consider. Elijah, I think they want to see what Elijah can do a little bit with Deshaun Watson being healthy. So I think that maybe that's one where they could wait a little bit and see how the beginning of the season goes. Sometimes you start to think about these extensions once you get closer to the trade deadline. So that could be a situation there. And then, I don't think that Jerry Jeudy's extension precludes extensions for the other guys. But, I don't know if anything is imminent.
All right, Mary Kay, we'll be looking for your draft coverage, plaindealercleveland.com, over the next couple days. We always appreciate your time. Thank you for your insight. Wide receiver, defensive lineman, tight end, backup QB, right?
Sounds good to me.
All right, that's your priority list. At least that's what I think you said. So, Mary Kay, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary Kay.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Thank you, guys.
She is Mary Kay Cabot. Make sure you read her every day, plaindealercleveland.com. And, of course, she was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let's digest what Mary Kay had to say. I also want to come back and talk. Weird day for umpires and referees across a couple sports. We'll talk about that when we come
weird
back.
Weird career.
Yeah. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Cool.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
There were some folks that just were not real thrilled with the officiating. That Denver Lakers game last night, Jeff, you know, a 101-99 game comes down to the wire, buzzer beater at the end. It was a lot of fun to watch. And then we get complaints, Jeff. Not happy with the officiating. Not
complaints.
Happy. Complaints. Who's the main man that we have complaining first up here, Dan Menigan?
Well, there was a review that took place in that game involving a D'Angelo Russell foul against him, and that seemed to spurn some controversy. Now, that took place in the third quarter. LeBron James after the game on the officiating.
Well, I don't know. Jeff, so
I can't even say that he's complaining. It might sound like he's complaining, but I think he's actually just voicing
an opinion,
frustration.
So here's the question, Jeff. Do the referees call things different in the playoffs than they do during the regular season? I know the answer. I'm just asking you. Do referees call the playoffs different than they call the regular season?
Used to be a blatant yes. Now I think it's a kind of yes.
It's felt blatant this so far. You think so? Yeah, in the first two rounds or first two games.
I've always thought this, though. If you've listened to our show at all, you rarely ever hear, I think, either one of us complain drastically about officiating. I just don't complain about officiating, Andy. To me, it's almost the same for both teams in every sport. These guys aren't perfect. It's never going to be perfect. I think baseball might be the easiest game to officiate because it's right there in front of you. You know, where's the ball? You don't have collisions away from the ball. You follow the ball. Football, you have stuff going on all over the board. Basketball, you really have stuff going. You know, you have 10 grown men on a small floor for guys their size and their ability, just going at it. You're not going to get it all. You're just not. And though LeBron might have a valid point, sorry, when that call was not overturned, they were up by 10 in the third quarter. That's why you lost to Denver? No, it's not. Mm-mm. You blew a lead late. That's why you lost to Denver. But, you know, the referees had nothing to do with the outcome of that game. I don't think.
I don't know because, you know, you just sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. I don't want to – look, I always say that if you just take care of your business, that the right thing will happen in these games. Yeah, you don't put yourself in a position to give up a touchdown late in the game that can let the other team win. If you would have played defense maybe on one play earlier in the game, that might have trickled down and there might have been an effect there that said that play won't happen at the end of the game. So I'm hesitant on crushing referees. I just, when it seems like there's a blatant turn, that's when I kind of get like, Like, it just be consistent. It's the only thing I've ever asked for. Whenever it comes to officiating, be consistent. If you're going to call one thing on the Cavs, make sure you call that same thing on the Orlando Magic. I don't know that you can ask for anything more than that. I think we're living in a time, too, where it is extremely difficult to get officials, especially at the younger levels. And so, you know, I was reading a story today. I was reading a story today in the News Herald, Chris Lillstrom, opinion piece, about how high school officials in Washington State are now wearing the video cameras that police officers wear so that when parents start yelling at them, they have videotape. I that seems extreme to me, but I thought his story was really good today. I just where are we going with this official thing? And then because it's not easy. It's not easy to be an official. And the other problem I have with when we're watching at home and we think a call is so blatantly obvious, and then we forget that we're watching it in slow motion, instant replay, we have the luxury of being able to see something after it happened, not having to call it in real time, and then it's in slow motion. And you know as well as I do, things look cooler in slow motion. The $6 million man was not that fast. He wasn't.
I think he was.
No, he wasn't, even though he was rebuilt. And now what would you get to be a $6 million man? I don't know. Maybe a pinky? I mean, seriously, Steve Austin was a pretty lucky guy for his time.
I'm now really confused.
What are you confused about? I'm just saying, I think it's tough to be an official, and I think it's really easy for us to sit back, watch, and say, oh, that was blatantly a foul. That was easily a foul because we see it on TV. Well, we're watching it in slow motion, instant replay.
I think part of the issue is this. Players, fans expect the officials not to miss calls, period.
Donovan Mitchell took one hard yesterday with an elbow that was blatant.
But do we feel the same way about the athletes who are playing? No, they're going to make mistakes all game long.
Sure.
Whatever the game.
Right.
And I think it's a double standard. I think we expect officials to be near perfect. And you don't expect that out of athletes. Well, why? They're all humans. They're all just trying to do a job. And to me, that's why I'd never get blatantly outrageously mad about officiating in any sport.
Let's go back to what LeBron said. LeBron didn't seem to be mad with the human error. He was mad with the technical error.
Well,
that he believes that if you have the opportunity to watch it on replay, that you should get it right.
And it has to be overwhelming evidence.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it wasn't. They're sticking with the call on the floor.
Dan?
Well, let's be honest here. Remove your wine and gold glasses. Remove your purple and gold glasses. Remove your blue and red glasses if you're a 76ers fan who's losing it right now, and they've got a protest that's going on in the first two games.
Yeah, does anybody think that's going to fly?
Okay.
And they better stay in the playoffs because I want to hear that song over and over and over.
Yeah, we haven't even played the song.
No, we've been busy with other things.
Yeah.
But remove those glasses. How do we want our games to be played? What do we as fans want?
Even.
What do players want?
But you're saying
we want the players to play the game. We want the players to have the outcome of the game. We don't want the game decided at the free throw line.
I don't. And the other problem I have, and I've said this since the day I watched my first basketball game, I hate the fact that basketball officials can eject a player for doing something that's not egregious. Just 6 natural fouls. See you later. 5 natural fouls.
Well, that's just horrible, though.
It's horrible.
Well, it's the way the game's always been played.
But what I'm saying is
that's not in the officials. That's just the rule.
I understand it. It makes me not like basketball. I mean, you can eject someone from the game from not doing something egregious. That's ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. And you can do it in hockey now too. So at the lower levels, go ahead.
But the thing is, we want the game played by the players.
We don't
want the game played with the
officials.
I don't pay
to see the officials.
So at a certain point, you're towing a fine line, and especially when it comes to playoff basketball, where they let things get more physical, which is what we all enjoy, which is what we all like.
Not necessarily.
Okay? Do tell.
What I want out of officiating is consistency.
Yes.
Consistency in style of play. More so than getting the calls right, because I assume they're going to make wrong calls. They're human. That's going to happen. What I like to see, and you don't always see it, is games officiated in a similar manner so that the style of play is consistent from game to game to game. In a series, in New York against Philly, in Denver against the Lakers, in the Cavs against Orlando. Similar styles, because that's the way the game is being called. That's what I think is good officiating. You know what type of ball you're allowed to play. Same thing in football. You know, like, how in some games does in the NFL might there be, you know, 15 penalties called and 8 holding penalties, and in another game, 2? Well, because that crew's not looking. If you wanted to call holding, you can do it all the time in the NFL. So when do you choose to do it? I want to see consistency. Same thing with umpires and strike zones. By the way, it's oddly good how home plate umpires usually are on balls and strikes. Some aren't very, you know, some have issues, but if the little box on the screen is actually accurate for balls and strikes, it's amazing how good they are. Really is. And players can, you know, scream and complain all they want. It's oddly good home plate umpiring. And so just be consistent.
The only time I get irritated on that stuff is when it's getaway day and strike zones become bigger than they normally are, or look, there's a threat of a thunderstorm coming in, so the strike zone's going to get smaller. Like, those are the things that just be consistent no matter what is facing the game. Or I've been here too long, and it's time to get out of here, and I think the other umpires want to get out of here too, so let's make that strike zone a little bit bigger.
And Angel Hernandez.
Yeah.
He's in his own separate category.
I was going to leave somebody out.
He's in his own separate category of all those. Because he's honestly like, I'm going to spin the wheel, and that's what we're going to call this inning.
I want to bring up another point here in a second. I'll do it now, in a minute here. Let's go to Brandon. Hi, Brandon. How are you?
Hello, Brandon.
Doing well. How are you guys?
Good, good.
So the officiating thing. So on a smaller scale, I ref, you know, adult league volleyball and whatnot. And as a ref by myself, you know, usually in volleyball you would have 4 refs. And you have your, you know, your top ref, and you have your down ref, and then you have 2 line judges.
Right.
So I try my best, you know, to watch everything. And you do miss things, and as a single ref, you know, that's what it is. But when it comes to, like, a larger scale, like, you know, basketball, like, you know, the NBA and NFL, like, things are going to be missed. But those little moments that where you miss something when a team is, like, either coming back or they're up a couple, you know, points or whatever it is, they do matter. Like, it changes, it shifts the momentum of whatever you're doing.
Okay. All right, Brandon, thank you. Appreciate it. All right. I want to talk a little bit more. There was also another incident that involved not a ref, but an umpire. And, we'll talk about it here in a second, Jeff. I just think that there has to be enough leeway that if there's multiple referees in a game, and it's not just one, and you can get the call right, stick with the call. Don't stick with the call. Get the call right. Like, get the play right. If you have the opportunity, I have more respect for referees and officials that are willing to say, you know what, I didn't see that. I have no problem with that. Like, if a referee says, hey, I just didn't see it, and I don't want a referee to call something that they can't see, but I also want them to have enough understanding that if they're about to make a mistake, there's nothing wrong with checking with another official. There's nothing wrong with making sure that if you're going to make a call that you got it 100% right. And that is something that happened yesterday in a baseball game. We'll take more of your phone calls on this too. 216-474-0092 or on social media, X at CLE Talking Heads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, just talking a little bit about officiating, because yesterday was a weird day for officiating, not only in the NBA, but it was weird in Major League Baseball yesterday, because Aaron Boone, and we were watching this during the show yesterday, and I glanced up, and I'm watching Aaron Boone go absolutely ballistic, like one pitch into the game. But we didn't have the sound up. The ball went into the ground, hit a batter, and you know, it should have been a hit batsman. I don't know if they called it or they didn't. And that's what I thought he was arguing about. Didn't you, Dan? When we saw this yesterday, it was we were kind of... Well, I think we were talking basketball, and I caught it out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah, he was talking.
I mean, he was like,
he went
mad,
bananas.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's. I mean, I get it. That's Aaron. And then finally, after we walked off the air, we found out exactly what was going on, and the audio on it could not have been any better. It was the A's and Yankees, and we found out that Aaron Boone had been ejected from the game. Play the sound.
Yeah, audio courtesy of the YES Network.
All right, so Hunter Wendelstadt thought that Aaron Boone had said something. They showed the video. Aaron didn't say a word. I mean, Aaron was not happy with what was going on.
He was staring at his fingernails.
Yeah, I mean, with his arms crossed.
He didn't want to bite them, but he forgot his clippers.
So here's a situation where, I think Hunter Wendelstadt realized it while they were having the argument, that there was a chance that he really didn't say anything after he'd given them the warning. Well, I there's a couple schools of thought on this. One, if you're Aaron Boone, don't put yourself in that position to even be warned, right? Right? That's one school of thought. And so that if something weird does happen, you won't get ejected. The other part of it is that I don't think there would have been anything wrong for Hunter Wendelstadt to look at the first base umpire and ask him if he heard anything too. But In this instance, his ego wasn't going to reverse his call on ejecting somebody. And by the way, I don't know if you can. I think once you're ejected,
once you're tossed.
But
you?
I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know either.
I don't know either.
Check the replay. Wait a minute. The replay center doesn't do a good job. We just heard LeBron say that.
So I just think in this situation, the right thing probably would have been for Wendelstadt to go to the first base umpire and say, did you hear anything? If the first base umpire says, I don't know, I didn't hear anything, then he's ejected. But if the first base umpire clearly knew that it was a fan in the stands that said something, that, you know, Hunter Wendelstadt...
Right over Aaron's shoulder.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. And so, I don't know. I was watching a high school game yesterday. There was a play at third base. Kid was, it was kind of a pass ball. Ball hits the ground. Catcher picks the ball up. Kid takes off from second to third. Throws down to third base. The umpire was in the right position in the field, but he was still behind the play. The play looked like the tag was high. You could see pretty much where we were standing and where the home plate umpire, if he was watching the play, saw it, where the kid was maybe out. It was close to being out. Whether he was out or not, it's just one of those situations where it's like if the home plate umpire had a better view of the play than the umpire in the field did, that maybe they should talk immediately without having to be provoked by it.
What did the replay show?
In the high school game? I don't know. They couldn't. They sent down. For some reason, the link between the East Side and Columbus was not working yesterday.
Then
LeBron was like, yeah, what's going on at the control center? And I thought the same thing. That control center was not only doing Major League Baseball and NBA, but it was also doing high school baseball yesterday. Isn't that insane?
Well, I don't. You got to get your money's worth.
There's got to be a window where the officials should be able to check with another official. And in the case, forget about the high school. The high school call stands the way it was. I don't have any argument with it, other than the fact that maybe they could have talked about it but didn't overturn it. But in this scenario with Aaron Boone yesterday, I just think Hunter Wendelstedt, if you go back and watch that video, it looks like he realized, he was like, oh, maybe there is a chance Aaron didn't say anything. So go check with the other ump. That's all. And if the other,
other ump might not have heard it, though.
Well, and that's just it. Yeah. Okay, other ump didn't hear it. Nothing you can do about it. You're gone. There's nothing you can do about it. But I think if you're Hunter Wendelstedt, you'd feel better knowing that you did make the right call. Although, I don't know, once you get ejected, maybe you're ejected anyway. So, thoughts? What were your thoughts on the Aaron Boone?
It looked like a complete miscommunication on the part of the umpire. We saw it, and Aaron didn't appear to say anything.
And again, we had the luxury of replay.
Sure.
You know, what'd you think, Dan?
Series of unfortunate events between two guys who, one of them let their opinion known for a good period of time and probably pushed it a little too far the first time, that caused the second time to take place.
There it is.
Ted's in Avon. He's got an opinion. Hi, Ted.
Yeah. Well, hi. I think the umpire made the correct call, and here's why. Aaron Boone has a reputation. If you go back, there are statistics you can see about managers that have been ejected. Aaron Boone is amongst the top.
Yeah, we know.
Of guys.
He got it wrong.
Well, Hunter Wendelstedt.
Hunter Wendelstedt got it wrong yesterday. He didn't say anything. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with an umpire getting it wrong. He got it wrong yesterday. Whether Aaron Boone drops every word in the book on an umpire every day and deserves to be ejected in those, and there's statistics that he is the meanest guy on earth. Hunter Wendelstedt got it right, and he's not the meanest guy on earth, by the way.
But, you don't know that he got it wrong. Do you know the context of what was involved before the game at the pregame meeting at the plate?
We watched.
Have you ever umpired?
Yes, before? I have umpired games before, and I've made mistakes, and I've been a head coach on the other side. He got it wrong. Why can't we just say he got? We watched the entire video of Aaron Boone not say a word, and you could hear the audio of the people behind him. How much more do you need, Ted?
He may have got it wrong, but the Yankee fans got what they deserved.
Okay, that's fine. I get it. But it's okay to be wrong every once in a while if you're an umpire. He was wrong. He said one more word and you're gone. Did Aaron Boone say another word? Yes or no, Ted? Did he say another word? No, he didn't. That's like you. You won't say another word either. I don't care if Aaron Boone gets tossed out. His reputation, come on. The guy didn't say a word. Zero. Zilch. Zip.
As far as we saw.
We watched it live and then went back and watched it again.
Could be a ventriloquist.
I'm doing a show with Howdy Doody today. Thank you.
Just telling you.
Unbelievable. I support officials. I do. But there's nothing wrong with saying you made a mistake every once in a while. Nate in West Salem. Hi, Nate. How are you?
Hello, Nathan.
Hey, good morning, guys. Andy, back to your point on basketball and being sent off after an accumulation of fouls. Like that, because if you don't have that final end result of being potentially removed from the game, then you're just going to keep hacking away or making mistakes and being sloppy. And I do think that maybe they could raise it up a few to 7 or 8.
But for NBA no or for with... NBA or high school?
NBA.
Okay. What about high school? I'm just curious on your thoughts on that.
What is to keep someone from being a sloppy, either a sloppy or B, maybe an overly aggressive player, if there is no end deterrent that you're going to be removed from the game?
Valid point.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just the part of it is that in most sports, the only reason you can be ejected is for doing something egregious. And the problem I have it with high school is with 5 fouls, man, you pick up 2 fouls early and maybe one was a mistake. Let's talk about Garfield Heights in this one, where a kid got an extra one in the regional final. That, you know, it's just that's the part I don't like is, you know, you got 2 fouls, you pick it up early, and then you've changed the game, you know?
5 is too low.
Okay.
And I think they should raise it because then, you know, you could really alter the game too early. However, who altered the game? The player altered the game, right?
True.
You don't want to get fouls. Play a cleaner game. However, if you, you know, if you get, you know, hosed on a few calls, that could change it. So maybe put it up to 6 or 7 or maybe 8. But at the end of the day, if you don't start calling these fouls and having some end results, like 6 or 7 small fouls do should equal like, hey, you're out of here, man. You're too clean. You're too dirty. So, all right, thanks, guys.
Good stuff, Nate. Thank you.
And it's different in basketball because, you know, before you get into the bonus and everything else, unless it's a shooting foul, you're not going to possibly get penalized. In football, you're going to cost your team yardage, and a coach might make the move to take that kid out of the game.
Let's go Dez, New York City. Hey, Dez.
Hi, Desmond.
Andy, you ran that anti-Yankee communist. That was pretty good. You ran him.
I ran him. Thank you, Desmond. I don't have any problem with his opinion. I just like, I mean, it's okay to say umpires make mistakes every once in a while. It's all right. That's all.
I don't know. Well, concerning the Sixers game, the Sixers, here's my problem. They should have called a timeout as soon as Brunson hit the three. It's just poor situational awareness by a veteran team and the coach. They blew it. Like he blew.
Didn't
the call.
They
like,
say they were trying to call the timeout and they didn't give
no,
it to
that's
him?
That's after.
That was after. Okay.
After Brunson hit the three, just call a timeout as soon as you hit the three.
Yeah.
And you can't call timeout when you don't have possession. Maxey never had possession of that ball. So I don't want to hear it from them. And Embiid has no dignity crying like that after that game.
But he said they're going to win the
Des,
series.
Were you
Des.
At the game? Were you in your suite? Or no?
No, I went to the Rangers game.
Good for you.
So, yeah, but the night before. So, I wish I did. But
Des, I still want to take you up on the offer. I do want to see a Rangers game there. With you.
Well, they might win it all this year, Andy.
All right, well, let's go. We'll hoist the cup together. Okay. I'll wear, what do you want me to wear? Giants?
No, Knicks. You got to wear Knicks gear.
I can tell you. I am not above or below slouching down to wear a Knicks jersey just to see a game 7 of a Stanley Cup final. Yes. Quickly, Des. Quick.
Yeah, Knicks empty the tank every game. They're not losing. I don't think they're losing a game in the playoffs. I think they run right through the East.
See what happens. Maybe you're right. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, next. Baskin and Phelps.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.